Now, before I move on to my next topic, just to say that the premiere of Top Gun 2 and Tom Cruise, did someone say to me that Tom Cruise is in his 50s now and he still looks 14? You know, the world is very unfair because I want to know why I still don't look 14. But let's move on anyway, because I'm joined by the CEO of Inclusion Ireland, Dervil McDonagh. Good morning, Dervil.
Good morning, Clem. Lovely to be with you.
You can't help me out with that, no? Tom Cruise still looking
14. Unfortunately, no, just like your producer, no information on Top Gun, but lots of information about inclusive education.
All right, and that's what we're here to talk about, of course, that very important topic. And thank you for joining us. Because at Inclusion Ireland, you're a national advocacy organisation for people with intellectual disabilities. Just to profile your organisation a little bit more for our listeners.
Yeah, so we've been in existence for about 60 years, Clem, and I suppose what we're about is our sole purpose for existing is to champion the rights of people with intellectual disabilities and to make sure that people realise their rights under the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. So we work sometimes at grassroots level with individuals, supporting people to become self-advocates, supporting families, and we also work on a national level, lobbying and campaigning for change. So we look for policy change, we look for legislation change, and we're trying to make things better for people with intellectual disabilities so that they can have their full rights met in Irish society.
And Dervil, when you talk about inclusivity, one of the areas where inclusivity is most required is in the area of education. I've seen so many articles and post tweets online and everything recently, particularly in relation to autistic children and parents, you know, desperate because they cannot find places for their children. But even beyond those on the autism spectrum, this is, I imagine, an issue across the whole area of disability.
It certainly is, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. And for anybody who saw Prime Time this week and saw that the family who had to come on and talk about their struggles in accessing a place for their children, you couldn't help but being moved by it. But that's not unusual. There are so many families across the country right now and so many children without school places for this September coming. Can you imagine what that must feel like for those families as they're struggling and battling to get some clarity and to support their child to transition either into national school or into secondary school? Now, we get that there are some challenges in terms of planning for children who have additional educational needs for national school, you know, because often children are sitting on waiting lists, waiting for diagnosis, waiting for therapeutic supports. So sometimes the data might not be as clear. Now, there's still ways around that and we can do better by planning, but there are some challenges there. But we cannot understand at Inclusion Ireland why there isn't better planning for children moving from national school into secondary school. So you'll see from families online at the moment that that there are a number of children across the country who do not have a place as of yet. Now, all of those children have been in national school for the last 8 years. They've been identified as having support needs. We all know who they are. We know what they're about. We know what they need. And yet the planning isn't there to provide them with school places come this September.
Dervil, are we not in breach of the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights? One of its most fundamental tenets is a right to education.
We 100% are. And just to say as well, Clem, so there are also people who are hidden within the system, and that's really important to mention today as well. So there's a lot of children that do not have school places at all, and hopefully those situations will be resolved for families sooner rather than later. But there's also so many children across the country who right now do not have a suitable place. So they might have been given a place in a school, but that school might be 10, 20, 30, 40 kilometres away from their home. So in the morning, they're getting up and they're having to travel long distances to access education because their local school is not providing the place for them. And there's also children who, even when they get the place in school, it is not suitable because the resources aren't there to support them properly, the therapeutic interventions aren't there. So a lot of children are then on reduced reduced timetables or they're dropping out, and we don't have proper data about that across the country. So there's probably thousands of children who are in that position across the country right now as well, and it's really important to mention them because sometimes they don't get the attention that they deserve because technically they have a school place, but they're not getting to use that school place and access the right to education because the supports aren't there to properly make that happen for them.
And if I might flip the point for a moment, and I know you'll understand what I'm saying, that there is so much focus, rightly and properly so, on those kids who are either excluded from the system or those kids whose experience of the education system is being compromised by things like reduced timetables, reduced resources and whatsoever. But we hear so little of the positive stories of these children who go into education and what they bring in terms to the overall school context, what they bring to their peers. It's not always one-way traffic, what we give them. It's what they give back to us when they're included.
I am so glad you mentioned that, and we're calling for that at Inclusion Ireland. It is not a charitable act to give a child a school place. It is absolutely their right. And we would love to see the narrative change towards a really positive stories about what inclusion does for all children. In our view, and the stories that we've heard, for when inclusion works well, when all children are included properly in their local school, that has a knock-on effect to all children, not just children with additional education needs. And look what's happening in the world at the moment, and I'm going to go a little bit deep on this if you don't mind, Clem, but you know, there's such polarity of opinion, there's so many crises that we're facing as a nation and globally, and what we need are empathetic children coming out of school. They're going to be the future, they're going to be the ones who are solving the world's crises and problems. And how you learn empathy as a child is you learn to be together with people who are different to you. You learn to be in a classroom with others, and you learn empathy and how to support one another and how to be in a community together. And that's what real inclusive education does. So we need to flip the narrative completely and talk about the positives of doing that. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all easy. It does take creativity, it takes resources, it takes leadership first and foremost from the government and from the school communities. But when it's done properly, the knock-on effect is immense for all children.
I don't want to sound like a guru, but, you know, we need to see the child and not see the disability. And one of the wonderful things about children is children see each other. They do not see the disability. That is something that is more of an adult mindset, that we tend to see the obstacle rather than the benefits and what each child should continue. You want to hold a convention in the autumn about all of this, or at least some sort of seminar.
We do indeed. We want to have a national conversation about the pathway towards inclusive education. Now, we fully recognise, you know, this is visionary stuff and it's going to take some time, and immediate action needs to take place for children right now who are either on reduced timetables, don't have appropriate school places, etc. So immediate action has to happen now. And the Minister announced during the week that she was going to evoke a part of the Education Act called the 37A, which is about compelling schools to open places for children who have additional educational needs. Now, it's a real shame that it has to get to that, but sometimes it does have to get to that point. So we know there's immediate action that has to happen, and we are absolutely behind immediate action right now for children. However, there's also a bigger conversation that has to happen about the pathway forward for inclusive education. And in the autumn time, we are going to run a seminar and bring people together to have that conversation and to talk about what needs to happen next. And this year, the EPSON Act is about to be reviewed, and that's the Education for Persons with Special Educational Needs Act. And we're calling on that, to even the title of that, to be changed to the Inclusive Education Act, and to really talk about what will it take for us to include children in their local school meaningfully. What does the system need to do to change to support children? The child doesn't need to change. The child is absolutely fine. It's the system that needs to change around them. And we need to have an open and honest conversation about that. And that's going to take, as we said in our statement yesterday, it takes leadership first and foremost, and a belief, as you said rightly, in the value of inclusive education. That has to be there at its at its core, and a belief in the value of having all children included in school. It also takes resources. We need to get real about that. You know, we're going to have therapeutic interventions in schools. We're going to have the kind of resources that children need to be treated as individuals and have their individual support needs met. That is their right. And then it also needs environmental considerations. We'd love to see schools changing, moving towards more universal design principles so that all children can be accommodated and supported with their own individual support needs met. And that involves having places and spaces where children can flourish, grow. You know, there's a lot of myths about inclusive education. People think that that means you have to be in the mainstream class all day, every day. But actually, real inclusive education is about looking at a child as an individual child and thinking, what do they need to thrive and flourish? So some children might cope all day in a mainstream class. Others might need to leave the class for a while, go off to a quieter place, have some support, come back in. Other children might need a whole lot of other support arrangements. And we need to meet that child where they're at. And that's real inclusive education. It's not making a child fit into a system. It's the system fitting around the child.
I couldn't put it better. Well said, indeed. And we need, for example, that no child, whether able-bodied, whether with an intellectual disability or a physical disability, no child should be deprived of their basic fundamental right to a whole education within the context of the system. So great to hear from you, CEO of Inclusion Ireland, Dervil McDonough. Well said, Dervil, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Clem.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Right, a regular listener says these laundries, the Magdalen laundries, were indeed prisons, church and state collusion. Women deemed unsuitable for society, hidden away and given hard labour to atone for their sins. No atonement necessary for the men involved. They were also called Magdalen asylums. Few families are strong enough to stand up to the power of the church and state of the time. The irony of washing others' dirty linen and the church and state hiding their own. Mad stuff indeed. How well put that is, you know, the irony of washing other people's dirty linen when these women were being treated that way. And as regards Tom Cruise, and I saying, you know, he still looks about 14. I thought I heard last night Tom Cruise was 59.
Yeah, he
and
is.
And obviously I did I, Kira?
Yeah, or is he 60, Clem, or is he just
He's 60 in July, for God's sake.
60 in July. There you go.
How could he look like that at 60?
Yeah, how many years older are you than him?
Shut up, don't care. Go away, no care.
We should do a comparison. We'll put up your skin textures.
I was looking at your skin texture with Owen last night, starring on the video.
Did
Hi,
like
everyone.
It? Do you like my skin texture?
You're right, now, off you go.
So we have Bridget Loughlin on the line. She's joined us all week, as you know, Clem. She's the Kildare Heritage Officer with Kildare County Council. And Bridget, it's Biodiversity Week. You may have been tuned into the newspapers this morning. Clem was reading a story, what was it, 130 million years ago, Clem,
yeah,
that the bees first came to the world, is it, Clem?
Yeah, it's a fantastic article on the bees. I've been reading it sort of on and off during the morning while either you or Owen were doing chats. It's by Paul Hendrick. It's in the journal.ie, and even though time is against us, I would urge anybody who has can go online to have a read of this article. It's absolutely fascinating in regards to the state of the bees in the world today and what we need to do. And in a nutshell, and having gone through the whole history of the bees, much of which I never knew, and the different species of bees and the importance of bumblebees, the core point of the article is that honeybees are not what he's talking about. It's the mass, many, many other hundreds of species that are endangered. Honeybees are basically what they are. They're kept to make honey, just like cattle, sheep, whatever else. It's the bees that go around pollinating on our behalf. And this article says, stop demanding and making better food choices. Stop using poisons in our gardens, in our streets, on our ditches, at the curbs, around trees, in parks, on golf courses, at sports grounds, in car parks, on school grounds, on farms and by rivers. Start demanding plants that are not treated with chemicals. Embrace wild in your garden. If you can't bring yourself to embrace the wild, don't hassle others who do. Don't keep hives leaves, keep flowers where the bumblebees, because today is World Bee Day, Ciara, and the article is on journal.ie, celebrating World Bee Day by Paul Hendrick, and it's well worth a read. But there's a lot happening in the county this week and over the weekend as well.
Yes, so happy World Bee Day to you, Bridget Loughlin. How are you today?
Thank you very much, and it's great to hear Clem talking so much about the bees. Yes, oh, it's great.
He loves to talk.
I was always into the birds and the bees, Bridget.
Yeah, joking aside, it's very important what you said. It is World Bee Day, and you're right. There's a lot people can do with very small actions, and there's one really good action that I'd hope everybody would do today, and that's to pledge their garden for pollinators. If you go onto pollinators.ie, you can pledge your garden. And all that means is you sign up, you map your garden, and then you say you'll do 5 or 6 actions that are good for bees. And there's nothing major in them. It's all the stuff that you and I talk about on a regular basis, is leaving areas to grow wild, you know, planting a few wildflowers, that kind of thing. So there's an opportunity as World Bee Day that people would sign up and pledge their gardens.
Okay, we're going to get into today's events, though, for Biodiversity Week. So we know today's the penultimate day. We'll go through Saturday's list very quickly in a couple of minutes. But today, what's happening?
Well, today there's actually nothing happening in Kildare. So today is the day that you can go onto pollinators.ie and find out what's happening in other counties around the country. And there's actually a wide variety of events happening in our neighbouring counties. So it's a chance to maybe explore other counties, or just get out and look at what's there yourself. Visit a wood, walk along the canal, take a walk along the river, and maybe bring some of the bird identification books that you can bring and learn how to identify some of your flowers. All the trees are now coming into bud. Identify your trees.
Right, we're going to talk about the last day of Biodiversity Week, which is tomorrow, Saturday. There are two events happening in the county. And first one is the pre-bat walk. That's an activity for families with Sallins Tidy Towns. And then after that, at 9:30, the bat walk and talk at Sallins Pier. Go through that again for us, Bridget.
Again, your favourite topic, Ciara, bats. So there's an opportunity. The pre-bat walk is really, it's bat talk. So it's basically to come along and learn a little bit more about bats, that it's not possible to kind of tell you as you're walking along getting the walk, because they're often focused on trying to identify what they're seeing. And it'll tell you about the fascinating life cycle of a bat, what we talked about yesterday, how good bats are good for us, what we can do for bats, how to deal with bats if you find them in your home, not to get too excited, all of those kind of things. And it is geared for kids, but adults can learn an awful lot as well.
Okay, Bridget, I have a question.
Yeah?
If you do find a bat in your home, you're saying don't get excited. I cannot guarantee that. But what do I do if I find a bat in my house?
Okay, if you find a bat in your sitting room...
Aside from cry.
Other than crying isn't going to help you or the bat. But that's a natural reaction, in fairness. What chances are, that's probably a juvenile that's made its way maybe down from your attic, or it's made its way into your house. He doesn't want to be there as much as you don't want him to be there. You're no good to him, you've no food for him, he can't live there. So what he or she wants to do is to get back outside as soon as possible. So what I would do is I would throw a clean tea towel over the bat, take him up gently. Now, the reason I say tea towel is it means you're protecting his wings and yourself, because while they don't bite, they do have sharp pieces or sharp bits to them. Take him outside and put him on a height, so put him on the top of a wall, so that the bat then can, when he recovers from the excitement of being inside your house, he'll be able then to take a swoop to drop from a height, because they need to drop from a height to get to be able to soar. So take him out, put him up, but be careful that you're not putting him close to where there might be a cat, because he'll be a little bit stunned, and they're prey for cats at that age. But generally, it's just a juvenile bat that's gone awry.
Okay, so the pre-bat walk is happening at 8:30, Sallins Tidy Towns.
Yes.
And then from the canal, there is going to be the bat walk and talk at Sallins Pier for a batty, fun-filled evening. That is the last day of Biodiversity Week. And thank you so much for joining us, Bridget Loughlin. You've been Kildare Heritage Officer with Kildare County Council. Take care.
Thank you so much to KFM for all their support.
And could we ask everybody, by the way, to just go out on the roadway tomorrow and have a look up at your chimneys, and the woman in the cloak with the bat is Bridget Loughlin, who is getting you up good and high to drop those bats from a height. They're very, very important, lads. I'm being serious now. And also the bees as well. Leave the thing wild. Stop using the old toxic stuff, to kill this, that and the other. Bridget, well done this week.
Thank you, Clem, and thank you again, as I say, for the support from KFM. It's great, and I know I've been meeting people, and they've been telling me they're learning a lot from our various chats, so it's great.
All right, get your cloak out, Bridget, and swing it around you for the weekend. You did a great job, you and your colleagues at Kildare County Council. Well done,
thank
and
you.
Have a good weekend.
Kildare Biodiversity Week, in association with Kildare County Council Heritage Department. For the full range of biodiversity activities, visit www.kildarecoco.ie.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Kildare KFM. The three-day Tattersall's Guinea Festival begins this evening, continuing tomorrow and into Sunday. The first to be held at the Curragh Racecourse since the lifting of the pandemic restrictions. Curragh Chief Executive Brian Kavanagh saying he's very much looking forward to welcoming the crowds back and that the track is in pristine condition at present. Native Trail, Buckaroo and Homeless Songs are among the big names going forward for the first Irish Classic races of the season at the Curragh this weekend. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but first we're joined by Evan Arkwright, who's racing and sponsorship manager at the Curragh Racecourse. And indeed, Evan, I suppose you'll echo those remarks by your chief executive. I'm so looking forward to having the crowds back after a hiatus of a couple of years due to the pandemic.
Yeah, good morning, Clem. Absolutely, it's terrific. It's been such a solid experience having the last two guineas run behind closed doors, but absolutely the first time we were back to full capacity. And listen, it's the brilliant days to look forward to, kicking off this evening, and then you're into the really major the classic stuff then Saturday, Sunday with the Tattersall's Irish 2000 Guinea Saturday, and then the 1000 on Sunday. So yeah, it would be brilliant to have everyone back, and we look forward to, we're really looking forward to it.
All right, let's talk about the big event tomorrow, because Native Trail has 8 rivals to beat if he's to justify his favourite tag at the Curragh tomorrow for the 2000 guineas. Charlie Appleby's Charge, last year's European champion 2-year-old, is one of 2 English challengers, with the Andrew Balding trained Imperial Fighter also confirmed at this morning's declaration stage. Here's how much Charlie Appleby is looking forward to his visit to the Curragh.
Everything now rolls on to the weekend now with Native Trail in the Irish 2000 guineas. So again, everyone's very excited. The horse looks fantastic. He had his last piece of work this morning and William sat on him. He looked great. So it's all systems go to the Curragh on Saturday. Fantastic performances we've seen in the English and the French guineas now. So there's a lot of excitement going into the weekend. And if we can cap it, the Irish guineas this weekend, it would be an amazing achievement for the whole team at Moulton Paddocks and for good old fit.
Indeed, Aidan O'Brien is relying on this week's supplementary entry Ivy League, with Chair Lines of Tommy Jones, Dermot Wells, Duke de Sessa also lining out for the first Irish Classic of the season. And the home team headed by the Joseph O'Brien trained Buckaroo. Here's what O'Brien has to say. Listen to the voice, by the way, and I'll tell you something after this.
He had a really good run first up in Leopardstown, dropped back to a mile over the 2000 guineas course and distance, and was very impressive. He's a progressive colt. It's obviously a very hot race, but we're excited about his prospects this season, and hopefully he can run very well this weekend. He's a horse who has got quicker as he's got older, and he showed a really good turn of foot last time in the Curragh. If he can take that level of form to next weekend, and hopefully with a little bit of improvement, he should be...
Doesn't he sound like the daddy? The voice, the exact same. Going to be a cracking race, Evan.
Oh, a serious race, yeah. And it's great to see Native Trail is an outstanding horse. But the nice thing is that he has some serious competition, you know. And Joseph with the horse Buckaroo. Shane Cross is a great young jockey. He's only 20 years old. He's accomplished an awful lot in his short career. And this will be a major achievement for him if he can land his first Irish Classic. You've got locally then, I suppose, Curragh-based, Dermot Wells with Duke de Sessa, Michael O'Callaghan with Mallex. Of course, we'd love to see a Curragh winner, and a Curragh Classic winner. But Native Trail would be very hard to beat. And it's great when these superstars come here to run. and you know, hopefully people will come out and see him. You know, he was a very impressive winner here last year at the Dossevron National Stakes.
And of course, it's not the only, as I said, the 2000 tomorrow and support races around that. But then Sunday, of course, jockey Chris Hayes will ride the Dermot Well trained Homeless Songs in the 1000 Guineas on Sunday. Homeless Songs won the Group 3 Ballinahin Stud 1000 Guineas trial over 7 furlongs at Leopardstown impressively last month. And Chris Hayes is confident that there can be a repeat of that at the Curra on Sunday.
Yeah, she was very good. Her work had been good and had been pleasing us. I was quietly confident. I think we were drawn out the same day. We just wanted her to do things right. She was obviously going to be fresh. She slotted into a grand position and rode a very good trial. Agartha led us along a merry dance and quickened off the turn. I thought her turn of foot from mid-pack to get to where she did was exciting, and she put the race to bed and hit the line strong. So you'd imagine the step up from 7 to a mile isn't going to be an issue, and on pedigree it would suggest she'd get it. So yeah, looking forward to her.
Well, also of course the Tattersall's 1000 Guineas provided Jessica Harrington with her first classic success when Alpha Centauri won the race in 2018. The Moon Trainer will bid to win this year's renewal with Villanova Queen, who was third in a recent 1000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown. Jessica Harrington says the mare is subject to further improvement.
That's the plan at the moment. She seemed to be just wanted to give her plenty of time after she ran in here in the beginning of April and to get her ready for the Guineas. She's coming on well. We're happy with her. She's going to do a last bit of work on Sunday.
And in terms of ground, is she adaptable?
I'd say she'd probably want nice ground, good ground. She's, most times she's run here, won and been third, the ground's been good.
And for a filly like her, she's a nice profile, has won her maiden and third in a trial. She's open to plenty of improvement, hopefully.
You know, I think she is open to improvement. She's a big filly, and that's why we give her plenty of time between her races.
Indeed, a big filly. Speaking with Dave Keener there, Jessica Harrington. Now, there's lots more happening, and we'll have an extended preview of all the action at the Curra on this evening's weekend preview programme from 6:25. But racing is not all that's happening at the Curra, Evan, because we'll be there tomorrow broadcasting live, of course, from 1:30 onwards, and again on Sunday. I'll be there myself tomorrow. But you're putting on loads of entertainment as well.
To have you on board on Saturday and Sunday, Clem, and we'll be sending you plenty of people to talk to over the weekend. Yeah, tonight it's great. The William Hill Emerald Mile is the feature race, real competitive race. But the Kildare under 20s and Kildare minor team, who have achieved so much this year, are coming as our guests. So we're looking forward to welcoming them. And I think, you know, anyone that's a keen PA, a fan in Kildare, we'd love to see you to recognise and acknowledge the achievements of the lads for both teams. So they're very special guests. So that'll create hopefully a great buzz around the
place.
So
that's this evening, with racing starting at 4:25.
4:25 and a big 80s disco after racing, just to keep the party going. And then tomorrow then plenty of entertainment music band after racing, and then Sunday there's lots of kids entertainment. I mean, we have to have a very good playground here anyway, and then we add on to that on Sunday for families.
Tomorrow then the first of 8 races at 1:35, but gates are open from 11 a.m. Sunday, first of 8 races 1:40, gates open at 11 a.m. Now, importantly, the Curra is offering a free shuttle bus service from Newbridge. It's picking up at the train station and outside the Riverbank Theatre, and also from Kildare Town, picking up at the train station and in the square. And car parking at the Curra is free. Plenty of it there. Entertainment this evening, the 80s team disco. Tomorrow, Pure Hits perform after the last race. And on Sunday, the kids' zone will be located in the Champions Hall. And as I say, we're broadcasting live. 1:30 onwards tomorrow, I'll be there, and Paul Power will take up the mantle on Sunday. Evan, it promises to be a great, great weekend, and we wish you the very, very best of success.
Thanks, Clem, and plenty of tickets. You can purchase tickets on the gate here on any day this weekend. So hopefully you see plenty of people. And as I said, you know, that free shuttle bus from Newbridge and Kildare means people can leave the car at home.
Indeed, and just to remind you again, from 6:25 this evening, we'll be previewing all the weekend sporting action, including an extended preview on the Curra Tattersall's Festival Guineas weekend. That's Evan Arkwright, who's racing and sponsorship manager at the Curra Racecourse. Have a great weekend, Evan. Thank you. And now I'm joined by Leinster Leader Sports Editor Tommy Callaghan. Tommy, good morning to you.
Morning, Clem.
McIlroy has taken the lead in the US PGA, I understand.
Oh yes, it's a bit early yet. That's 21 off the round one, but a great start for him. And a great start for the Irish lads overall, apart from Parry Harrington, but the rest of them are all there or thereabouts.
Seamus Power keeping up his good form?
Yeah, he is, yeah. One over, I think he is. And Shane Lowry's level par. So they're all there. Parry Harrington will struggle probably to make the cut now. But the rest of them and led by McElroy up at the top of the board.
All right, Tommy, you're on here primarily to talk about the Christy Ring Cup final on Sunday. Kildare against Mayo. Kildare have already beaten Mayo. They went through the round robin series unbeaten. Last weekend's match was against Sligo when he rested some of his players. Here's what David Harity had told Seamus Dillon after that.
Momentum is key with anything that we're doing so far this year, to make sure that you're constantly building momentum. As far as I know or see, everyone should be it should be a full panel, apart from Kevin Hearn, who's still out with the quad since St. Paddy's Day, and David Qualter, who tore his ACL there back in February. Everyone else should be fit and ready for the weekend. There was a few knocks there. There's a few serious knocks there coming into the game, a bit like the concussion and dead legs, but everyone should be good to go now next Saturday.
Everyone good to go tomorrow evening. Tommy, Kildare hot favourites?
Oh, Roaring hot favourites. Probably, as we often said here, not something that sits well with Kildare teams, but look, Kildare were favourites before this even started, Clem, before a ball was poked, before the round robin even started. Kildare were money on favourites to win the Christy Ring. They've gone through their whole campaign, their five matches. Ironically, their first match was against Mayo. And now, they possibly caught Mayo a little bit on the hot that day. They led at half time by just 5 points and obliterated Mayo in the second half and ended up scoring 5-26. I mean, that'd be some turnaround, put it that way. But Mayo, in fairness to them, have improved as the competition progressed. They bet Wicklow in the second round, they bet London, they bet Sligo, and last time out last week they had a very, very good win over Derry. Now Derry were looked upon as probably the strongest team after Kildare in this competition, but Mayo got the best of them. Mayo were at home, which was probably a bonus to them. And but Mayo won that one 223-218, just 5 points in it. But it's certainly a sign that Mayo have improved a fair bit from the first time that they met Kildare back at the start of the round robin. But having said that, it's very hard to see anything better. If Kildare turn up at all, they should win this and win it comfortably.
Well, as the headline says in your paper, the Leinster Leader this weekend, Tommy, says favouritism won't lead to any complacency, insists David Harity. We'll have full commentary of that game tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock in Croke Park with Ger McNally and Peter, I was going to say Peter Dillon, Seamus Dillon, Ger McNally and Seamus Dillon in regards to that. Tommy, before we let you go though, it's a big weekend for the ladies footballers once again. The minor ladies are out in the All-Ireland goal final against Tipperary tomorrow, and their team is as follows.
In goals, Niamh Burns, Selbridge, full back line, Áine Myrna, Eadstown, Niamh Hayes, Maynooth, Molly O'Loughlin, Kilcullen, half back line, Olivia Monaghan, Kilcullen, Ruth Sargent, Eadstown, Shefer Galvin, Sarsfields. Middle of the field, Amy Larne, Castle Mitch.
Let's stop that, because that's the bloody minor team. I hit the wrong button. Here's the under-14 girls team in the All-Ireland final tomorrow.
In goals, Ava McKeown, Ballina. The full-backs, Kate McNulty, Sarsfields, Aoife O'Rean, Selbridge, Maya Frugard, Kill. The half-backs, Caoimhe Mahan, Rathangan, Jessica McNulty, Sarsfields, Moya McCarthy, Raheens. In centre field, Aoife Tracy, Selbridge, Cassie Mallon, 2 Mile House. The half-forwards, Katie Ray of Round Towers, Isabel Casey, Leakslip, Aveen Birchill, Ballina. The full-forward line, Aveen Mahan, Rathangan, Keelan Dermody, St. Lawrence's, Amy Jones, Rathangan.
Ciara Noble with the under-14 Kildare team playing Tipperary tomorrow in Cretty Yard in the All-Ireland Gold Final. Previously, the minor team. We'll have the minor team later today, and of course both teams on our preview this evening. You have to hand it to Kildare ladies football, Tommy. They're having a cracking year.
Absolutely, they're having a cracking year, Clem. I mean, the ladies won the intermediate Leinster last week, and now two more big games this weekend. So a lot of work going in there, and it's paying off. And also at the weekend you have the league finals, the ladies league finals. It's not they're not getting much time to have a rest. I mean, they played last Sunday in the Leinster final. They played league matches on Tuesday night, and they're playing league finals this weekend. It's a very busy time for
them. And we'll have the full list of league finals in our preview programme this evening. And Tommy, before you go, EMS Copiers Senior Football League, most games down for 12 o'clock on Sunday, a key weekend of course, because am I correct in saying that following this weekend's series we'll have the promotion and relegation split playoffs?
Yeah, this is a big weekend. This weekend, they're all down for most of them are down for Sunday morning at 12. I think there's one tonight. Nathan Raheen's in Raheen's down at 7:30 tonight. That's brought forward. But a big weekend. Both at the top of the table and the bottom of the table, and in all divisions. In fairness, it's not just Division One. It's tight all through all the divisions. So lots to play for on Sunday morning.
All right, Tommy, good to hear from you. And Tommy's writing about most of that this weekend in the Leinster Leader, and he'll also be doing likewise again on Tuesday's edition. Thanks for your time, Tommy. Have a good weekend. All right, that's Leinster Leader sports editor Tommy Callan. And also, by the way, Pat Costello has a very good preview of that Christy Ring Cup and all the rest of the sporting action as well. The headline in the Nationalist is Herity looking to finish the job, by our own Seamus Dillon and Pat Costello, and they go down through all the matches played. And previous winning Kildare managers, Brian Lawler in 2014, Joe Quaid was the manager in 2018, David Herity this year. So good luck indeed to all concerned in regards to that.